Hi everyone, so welcome back to El Synergy Podcast. We have Jasmine. Is that how I pronounce your name, by the way? It's not like
Jasmine. But I like the French-ish.
Yeah, in French we say Jasmine.
Literally, like Julie, you can literally like have some sort of app where people can put their name and then you can pronounce it with your accent. I'm sure a lot of people would say,
yes.
I want to Julie pronounce my name.
Oh dear. But yeah, so we have Jasmine with us today and obviously Laura. So Jasmine is actually one of our IBA students and we just thought to invite her today to just have a little chat because she has so much to share, you know, some good stuff, you know, what she learned along the way and how, you know, how she achieved all her goals.
Welcome to the El Synergy Podcast,
the perfect place to learn everything about building and scaling your business online.
I'm Laura Haylitz.
And I'm Jenny Fears.
We went from being on furlough from our corporate jobs to building a multiple six-figure business in our first year of business. All that with the power of Instagram and no-fluff business strategies.
But hey, you can do this too. On this podcast, we share the behind the scenes of growing an online empire, reaching new heights, and how you can juggle it all.
After 2 months, I got my first fully self-supporting months financially.
A lot of people forget about that. They're like so focused from a scarcity mindset of like, oh, it's money that I'm giving. Yeah, but what's the cost of getting staying stuck?
My engagement rate when I checked yesterday was at like 40%. I've just been posting like every 5 or 6 days sometimes. I just know that if I hadn't done that, I would not be where I am in my business today.
Hi, Jasmine. Can you just quickly introduce yourself?
Yes. Do I use my podcast voice? Yes. Hi, I'm Jasmine Marsters, and I coach people-pleasing overthinkers on issues of self-esteem, boundaries, and mental health stuff. And I'm originally from Germany, but I've been in Los Angeles for like the last 10 years.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't know you were from Germany, actually.
Yes. Born and raised, as I like to say.
Oh, really?
Ein bisschen Deutsch.
Ja, ich spreche Deutsch.
Ah, so cool. Mm-hmm. Ganz geil.
Yes.
One of those things like that it. Like Dutch-speaking people will always be like, this is so funny, because in German it means like cool, but in mm-hmm. Dutch it means horny. So it's like, when I hear ganz geil, I'm always like a bit,
It used to mean that too. And it, I mean, you can use it that way in German, but yeah, it's been taken over.
So cool. Well, now we know we have a lot of Europeans in IBA. I'm so cool. It's so nice.
Yeah. I think we do attract Europeans in a way because there's not that many Europeans who are in this coaching world.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think it's Jasmine is like a light bulb.
Yes. Well, it just flashed, or it's like very Americanized, you know, coaching. Like it's very different energy. So it is
indeed. I think it's quite new for Europe. Like even when I have to explain to French people what I do, it's always a struggle. Like coaching is still so new for Europeans, I think. And yeah, it's just coming. So that's probably why. But yeah, I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, we can resonate with you because you're obviously European and it's just a different style and vibe and so on. So
you're not screaming at us or pounding your chest while you're coaching. So that's really sweet.
Honestly, just get me started.
To clarify, that is more what I define as the American way of doing it. Just so people know.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I absolutely love, to be honest, about the American way, but I am quite mm-hmm. proud that we are putting Europe a bit on the map as well. Even though, to be honest, we still probably half of IBA are still hugely American or Canadian, mm-hmm. which it's a nice mix. But yeah, Jasmine, can you tell us a bit more about your background? Like, how did you start your business? What were maybe some main goals and struggles that you had when you were starting out?
Yes, absolutely. I was reflecting on this before coming on the call. And I had been flirting with starting my, like, this idea of like being a coach, but it was like one of those things where I'm always like, it's not possible, or like, yeah, sure, I'll do that someday, but like 20 years into the future, that, and it's always going to move 20 years into the future, you know? And, but like, for the past 6 years, I was really working on my mental health. And then like 3 years ago, I really started like investing, doing self-help seminars and then hiring coaches for myself. And then within doing that work, it just became like super clear, like, okay, this is what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And Did you ask how to start? What was the...
Your story, really. Like, how do you come up to with this business idea and business and overall, and how did it start?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm skipping probably over the whole part where I was like, just like tortured by this desire to be a coach and like, oh no, I have to get all those insecurities I had to get past to actually start, you know, because, you know, it's like doing the thing that you actually want to do and that you believe in, like there was a lot of insecurities and like limiting beliefs that I first had to get over. And I'm sure any business owner and entrepreneur can relate to this. It just takes that threshold pain of wanting something so bad that you're actually willing to just find out what's going to happen if you take the first step. So the first step, it was kind of babbly, but the first step was just making the decision. You know, it wasn't just like random, like maybe I'll see what happens. Like I literally had to decide, okay, this is happening. Then it was the question, okay, so what is my niche? I can't just like say I'm a coach, period. You know, so I basically asked myself, what is something where I feel like I'm an expert on? Like if I went, you know, 2-3 years back and just coached myself, you know, like what is the thing, the tools that I did not have 2-3 years ago, or even a year ago, that I now have that I can confidently talk about and that I could talk about for hours and not get tired. And so that's kind of how the niche crystallized, like people pleasing, overthinkers, people who have issues with boundaries, low self-esteem. And did I say codependency already? Because yes, that again. And and so once I got clear on that, I started kind of, you know, I just basically did what the coach suggested, like maybe write out some modules. I just did that. And then the first thing I actually did, like out in the world where it wasn't just in my head and in my notebook or something, was I put in my stories, just like an announcement, like, hey, I'm looking to start a coaching business and I'd like to do a beta test with like 2 to 3 people.
Okay. But did you have an Instagram account then? Like, how did you start?
Yeah. So, I was actually, sort of still am. I'm taking a hiatus from acting, but that's what I was doing. And so I had a bit of a following. I can't really call it following. It was more like friends and colleagues, you know, and lots of colleagues. But I think I was at about like 3,000-ish followers from that. But they weren't like super engaged. It wasn't like people who are like dying to find out what I'm doing. It's just literally like the gaffer from a movie that like a short film I worked on or something, you know? So, so I posted in my stories and I really didn't, it was one of those things where you just take a leap of faith. Cause I really didn't think anybody would respond, but I got like 5 responses or so. And I ended up actually doing my module program for 3 people from beginning to end. And that was really important. And just like, oh, now I can actually call myself a coach and see what works and what doesn't. And so the goals, I think in the beginning was just like, get clients, you know, like get clients, get more experience, get, you know, I still didn't fully have that confidence, even though I had been like mentoring in my local community for a while, but just like actually like getting paid to help somebody, you know, that's a whole another ball game. So that was scary, but like getting clients was one of those things. Just like, what the hell am I posting? You know, I was just very much every single day, if something just like floated into my head, I would work on a post, but it kind of, I was taking way too long to make posts. You know, it took me like days to finicky around with the post. And I think when I sent you one of those other testimonial videos, I was like every morning when I started trying to do this a bit more seriously, you know, I was in the bathtub, just like sweating in the bathtub. Did I just spit? And you know, just like, yeah, exactly. Just like knowing my audience is on at noon, you know, so by noon I gotta have the post for today, you know, and just like canvaing and like being still a bit too perfectionistic and stuff. And so it wasn't exactly an efficient way to run my business. It was very like chicken with its head cut off, but also like the coaching bit, that's the part where I felt really good. Like I feel confident. And that took a second to get to, right? But that's kind of my happy place. The business stuff was still just like, you know, the hairs are standing up. And yeah, and so I think that's where we started.
So before we jump into the rest, like how did, like you said that, you know, you were, you had a lot of limiting beliefs and you were a bit scared to take the leap face and, you know, put yourself out there and so on. So what made you jump, basically? What made you be like, you know what, I'm just gonna do this for myself?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think first of all, I did work with a coach for like at least 1.5 years myself, like continuously. Which is, you know, I think anyone who goes out and coaches people in any capacity, like you, at some point you got to have someone yourself as well, because limiting beliefs are going to come up around some area. But so just within that frame, I already worked a lot on what, just like, I believed everything was hard. I just had this assumption that everything had to be hard. And I'm not saying that everything is easy. You know, clearly life has, I mean, we just know, we don't have to explain it. There is challenges, etc. But I was making it like extra doubly hard. And I wasn't believing that anything was possible for me. I mean, not to dip too deeply into mental health issues, but like, I didn't even, like many people who suffer with like anxiety and depression, I just had this inner knowing that I wasn't going to make it past like 32, you know, I forget what it's called. I don't know, there's a name for that, but a lot of people who have like CPTSD have this thing, they just don't, like, it's just going to be over after 32. It's not even suicidal, you just don't think about it. So I didn't have a plan for anything after 32. It's just like, I just didn't think about it, you know, I was not prepared. It was just like, oh, okay. And then I arrived at 32 and I was like, well, shit. Yeah,
what do I do now? I have to do something. Fuck.
Exactly. Like, it was like shocking. And it was also like, it unleashed this super boost of energy in me, right? Because at first it terrified me. And then I worked with a coach and it kind of shifted into like, holy shit, what do I want to do? You know, it wasn't like from that scared way of asking, but more like, I actually get to create something that I care about. Whoa, chills, you know? And, but yeah, I just, as you asked that question, I just keep having this one moment in my mind where it was just like this little thought of like, I could coach. It just got louder and louder and louder. Like, I couldn't ignore it. It's like a neighbor that keeps like, ding, 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 ding. Like, still here, ding, ding, ding. Do you want to come over? You know? And that energy just got bigger and bigger and bigger until I actually had to deal with it. I couldn't just deny it and shove it like one more time, you know? And so once I decided, okay, I got to actually acknowledge it, look at it and ask myself, is this something I could do? It just became inevitable, you know?
Yeah. I think so, like, powerful. Like, yeah, it's something that I really felt and that saying often is, you know, you have to want it big, like the desire has to be big enough, like bad enough, that it's always in your head. And if you can't, like, to a point you can't just ignore it and just have to act on it, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, this goes kind of in what I do with my clients, but I think a lot of people have that desire, but it's so dampened by all the insecurities and the fear and the self-doubt that's just like stacked on top of it. So you hear it like poke through. Like, every once in a while you hear like the echo of that desire, but there's just so much noise in between that you really don't get through to that core desire. So yeah, I'm glad I did that work.
That's interesting. So yeah, so in the end, you just put some stuff out there, like on Instagram, doing some beta clients, starting to think about the idea of this business, of this coaching, and then what happened?
Yeah, so... So I started having my first paying clients like about, like, I don't know, 5-6 months after I had my first beta tester start. And I think I just realized like this, I think I'm not just having like German thoughts come in every once in a while. So I'm like, what language am I speaking? But basically I realized that I couldn't just like live into the day with my business. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm like translating this properly, but I was just kind of like waking up. And if I had a client, then I was doing a client session, but there was no business thinking, you know? And I realized if I want to do this in a more sustainable way, in a way that I can count on my business and like plan properly and stuff, I needed a bit of help. And I also, you know, I just got so uncomfortable with this inefficient way of creating content. Like I was just like, I have chronic tendonitis from like a lifetime of perfectionism, you know, like designing stuff and like it was acting up. And so I'm like in the bathtub with my, you know, claw hands, like trying to create content. And I'm like, okay, so this is not working. And at this point in my life, I got it. Like when I get to that point, like I need help, like my brain is not coming up with that solution. Right. Like I created the problem. I don't have it. And I think I probably started like looking at like the hashtag like content strategy or something like, but like very like,
what is
like
that?
Taking a peek at that. Like I didn't really understand it. It's like so out there, nothing I deal with. Like I don't deal with business stuff, but I just like curiously clicked on one or two of those. And so eventually I don't know who I saw first, but I came across your profiles and like you guys instantly had so much like tangible, actionable, valuable things that I could like immediately turn into practice, and things I really didn't know about how Instagram works and how to utilize the tools and Canva, you know, how to use that. And
yeah, I think no, that's good. That's good. I think what she's saying is important is that a lot of people, you know, have an expertise, you know, they're great at coaching, they're great, I don't know, they're great photographer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you have so much more, right? To get clients and put yourself out there. It's not just about being good at what you do, but you have to think about business and marketing and Instagram and the constant change of Instagram and video marketing and all that shit. So it's yes. overwhelming. I mean, even for us, sometimes it is overwhelming of all the things we have to think about. So when you're not in, and we're lucky enough to, you know, like we obviously studied business and marketing with Laura, so it comes natural for us for this, but like for the people, it's like it must be really, you know, like what the hell, where am I even starting?
Yes, exactly. Very overwhelming. Or like even honestly before the overwhelm, there was the ignorance. I just didn't even know that there was something available that could help me, you know, like I didn't even know the problems I had, which is also something I learned in like the IBA course, right? Where you were talking about, like there's the problems that the client knows they have, then there's the problems they really do not know they have. But that was me, like I didn't know. And but then once I started knowing like, oh, there's stuff, then it was like, oh no, I need to learn. Yeah, exactly. There's things I need to learn if I actually want to do this professionally, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of things you gotta, like multi-skill things you need to do as an entrepreneur, but thank goodness there's awesome to make it easier so I don't have to learn everything, you know. Somebody has done it before me, I don't have to learn it all from scratch.
And how, I mean, obviously we know that you joined IBA in the end, but like, how did you find out about IBA and what made you, I mean, what made you join the program is I think pretty clear now because you knew that you needed help there, but like, how did you find out about IBA? How was kind of that journey as you discovered it?
Yeah. So I'm a funnel baby. I think I'm a funnel baby. You know, like I just, first of all, I enjoyed your content. I used the tools that I was seeing on your reels and carousel posts, et cetera. And then I think the thing that I first purchased actually was your reels course. Yeah. You know, you had a viral reels course. Honestly, I think back then, like that was interesting to me because I wasn't doing any reels whatsoever, but maybe that was just me going like, okay, I want to purchase something that's like a low ticket offer to see.
To get comfortable.
What's going on? Yeah, exactly. Like I like what they're doing and I want the value that they provide, but I'm not really like, I'm not like dying to be an expert at reels. I wasn't even thinking that way. Again, I didn't even know what my problems were. I just like, I want something that you guys do. And there's something that's like cheap, you know, or affordable, I should say. And then I purchased that, and then, you know, through that, you guys probably know better how it works, but like that kind of enabled you to get like a discount or put you on like the wait list to get like an early bird discount for IBA. And then, you know, by having followed you guys, obviously I had already understood like what you had worked to like teach me, by the way, this is the problem you have, and here we will offer the solution to you soon and to like a really good price. And yeah, so I think I was just convinced, like I knew I needed something. I was just, I wasn't booking enough clients regularly, and I wanted to kind of up that, how do I call it? Like, I feel like there's like these I think some people call it like upper limit syndrome. Like there's like this roof that you have like in your thinking of how much is possible.
Ceiling,
and so like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I have one client. Okay, now I'm going to like faint for like 3 months and just like get used to that feeling. And then I have two clients and I have three clients, you know? And so I was just ready to get to the next level.
Like what you're hearing so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to our podcast. We really appreciate your support. Now back to the show.
Okay. And how was then, you know, IBA for you, right? Because I think you joined, was it back in January last year?
Mm-hmm.
I think you joined at the very beginning. So you really trusted us because it was a new program. Yeah. But how was it for you? Like when you enrolled and like, your journey in general.
How did you feel? Yeah, I mean, you know, like I think a lot of people like you said, you know, you first wanted something affordable and you were not sure, you know, do I even need this? Do I trust these girls? Like, how did you feel when you made, I mean, it's an investment at the end of the day. For some, it's a bigger investment even, you know. How did that feel?
There's probably something like, this is a terrible example, but you know, like the stages of grief, there's probably something like the stages of like the purchase, you know, that like the person goes through. So something happened around that time. I'm actually really grateful because I learned something about like what I need in order to feel comfortable in purchasing. And it is maybe in alignment with like what you teach, but it basically, I realized like, I know I have a problem. Like I first got to get clear on what is my problem as to the extent that I can with the knowledge I have, you know, like I'm getting stuck in this specific area. Most people don't even take that first step because it's just like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm distressed. I'm overwhelmed. That's where we stop, you know, but we don't look at like, what is creating that exactly? You know, what is the process in my daily life that's creating so like sucking so much energy out of me. So I became clear on the things that were creating that for me. And then I have to ask myself, okay, so who has a solution for that problem? That's the next step, right? And so then there's multiple people on Instagram that have a solution to that problem, right? And so then the next question is, okay, so who has like an energy or like a language or something that I vibe with where I feel like I'm open to hearing you teach me, you know, I feel teachable when I'm in your space. I knew those things were already in place with you guys just from like having followed, having consumed your content, having purchased the other course. And then of course, still, so this is one of the other stages. There's then like the fear that comes up. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. No, no. What if, you know, what if it's like a waste of my money? What if I don't get what I need? And, you know, I think just from having personally, from having worked with coaches and having made like big ticket investments for my mental health, I already had a little bit of like that experience of like, you know, you need this. And the alternative is just staying stuck with the same problem for like however long you want to, you know? And of course it helps a little bit to have that incentive of like, well, it is cheaper now. If you take longer to think about it, it's actually going to cost you more. So, And then the thing that happened once I remember feeling excited because you guys did like a type form beforehand and it actually, you know, like I'm sure this is part of the psychology of it, but it helped me to realize that this was what I needed, you know, it just gave me clarity. And I'm saying that like that because I don't feel like I was manipulated to think that I needed something I don't need. It was just like, oh yeah, that is exactly what I need. So I had more confidence in the purchase and then still the fear, but I just decided I had the fuck it moment. That's the stage, you know, like fuck it, I'm just gonna go for it. And then I felt really excited because that is always happens for me. I'm just like just energy comes through, like okay, good, we're doing this, like we're getting that change now. And like a day after, or like maybe it was like just like 2 hours after making the purchase, like I got like client requests. And this is something that always happens, like whenever I'm so afraid to make an investment, right? Like I feel like all coaches have that experience, like we get so scared to make an investment, the second we do, money flows in. And it's just so that was cool. It was like just felt like a confirmation that I'm moving in the right direction. And it's just money, it'll come back. It's fine. Yeah. You know.
I think it's so powerful that you talked about like the cost of not taking action versus the cost of taking action, because I think a lot of people forget about that. They're like so focused from a scarcity mindset of like, oh, it's money that I'm giving. Yeah, but what's the cost of getting staying stuck? And like you said before, like being stuck in your bathtub and trying to come up with content and
with my clients.
So yeah, exactly. That's really powerful, like to keep that in mind as well. I mean, yeah, if you have those goals, at some point, something needs to change. And I saw this quote this morning. It was said like, actually, I'm posting it on Instagram soon. It's saying like, you know, new goals require new actions. And I think it really aligns with exactly what you were talking about. If you then really want to get to that, you know, past that ceiling that you felt like you were stuck at, you need to take new actions. Really cool. And how was you, maybe because you talked a bit about wins already, sort of, but like what were some wins that you had inside IBA or some aha moments or clarity moments that you had that you feel like sharing with us?
I feel like we need another hour now. there was a lot. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind immediately that month of making the purchase, or like the month after, those 2 months, let's just say, I finally got to the point of having like my first fully self-supporting months financially, you know, and that was a big deal for me because I was completely financially dependent before that point. And so just that right off the bat. So I saw results, you know. The other thing is, I was just checking this morning, I think when just before I purchased, I was around like 4,200 followers. And since then I gained like more than 2,000 followers. And that was not my growth rate. You know, I was just at those 3,000 something for 3 years or something. So way more followers, and it's picking up now too, like just quicker, you know. What else? Oh, I have a content strategy. I mean, that was really exciting to me when I started that master sheet. It was super overwhelming, but like in an exciting way, you know. It was like, oh my God, there is the answer, you know, and I got obsessed.
the Holy Grail, it's here.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just one of the modules, you know. There was so much important stuff beforehand. It felt a bit torturous. I'm just going to admit, in the beginning, it felt torturous because of course there's things that we've been avoiding, you know, like as your clients, like the things you haven't done, the things we were afraid to look at, like taking that time to actually sit down and like make decisions and like things that you commit to, you know, like your niche and like that, just that, that bio in Instagram, you know. I mean, so many people are just like losing their minds, and I was too.
Oh my God,
and
then,
you know, it's a big one. But then finally feeling like, okay, I feel like this is good enough for now. I feel I have more clarity. I have more structure. I have an intention with that bio. It's not just like randomly like separate words that describe me or something, but like it's a call to action, really, you know. And so that was a big deal, just learning to make decisions.
Just so I can explain. So inside IBA, we have a master spreadsheet. So it always scares our students at first. So they're like, what the hell is this? And then they dive into it. They're like, oh my God, this is gold. Yeah, it's definitely talked about a lot inside the Facebook group. But yeah, it's just a master spreadsheet to really make sense of your content strategy. But I think what you say is very important is that often you know there's stuff that you need to sort out, but you just leave it because it's something you don't enjoy. It's something you don't have the answer. It's, you don't know how to go about it. And then once you make that investment, and you know, again, to come back to investment, it's like you have no choice. You put some money in it. You have to go through it. And at least you have the framework. You have, you know, the solution. So you know what to do at this point. And you stop, you know, how do you say in English, you know, doing the... In French, we say faire l'autruche for all the French people who are here. Can listen to me, understand?
I don't even know that one.
Yes, you know, like how did Autruche.
Yeah, putting like this. In Dutch, it's the same actually, but it's like trying to like not look at the issue and just put like an ostrich.
Putting your head in the sand.
No, they put their head in the sand and then just hide, and just like in French, we have this thing.
You know, apparently they don't actually go into the sand; they just crawl up their head against the thing. I learned that in a Christmas quiz, guys. It was like a Trivial Pursuit sort of question in a quiz, and I found out that they don't put their head into the sand. Wow. They just lay there with their head on the floor. Anyway.
That is even better. That is so much better. I love it. Yes. No, yeah. I love that you said that because, I'm having a brain fart. Yes, no, I because I basically had those moments where I was like, oh, I don't wanna, you know, like a toddler is like, I don't wanna do the thing that I'm supposed to do. But then I was like, but I want to get my money's worth. Like I need to like at least give it a good shot.
Yeah.
You know, like give it a good shot, like try it out for like 3 months or something and see if it works, you know? And then if you don't like it, then you just, you know, move on, you know, discard it or course correct or whatever. And so that I feel like it worked for me. I mean, there was things I now since then have like found my way to like make it work for me, you know, and I think that's important. Everyone needs to find a way to adjust the tools that you give to their own style, etc. But basically it gave me more clarity, one, on what my niche is and how to create content around my niche. Like, you know, what are the topics that really matter to my clients and how can I create content around those topics that is actually addressing their concerns and their goals, etc.
So you got clarity, I guess, on your business, on your niche, where you were going, on that content strategy. And how did that affect your overall business and mental health, I guess, around your business as well?
Oh, yeah. Well, now I'm having like this moment where I'm like, is this real? Like, what is happening? Because recently, talking about mental health, you know, like I just didn't have a whole lot of energy. And I was, you know, with, you know, ADHD and other stuff, like I just deal with executive dysfunction a lot. So it's hard for me to task initiate. It's hard for me to task switch. I get distracted a lot. And then there's just literally, I know exactly what I need to do and what I want to do and what I should do. And I just can't like get my body to do it. So there's been a lot of acceptance around just like working with my body and with my flow and allowing myself to rest. And then when I have energy, I'm like a beast, you know? But so that being said, like since doing the Reels course again within IBA, when you did the challenge, you know, I've had like at a certain point, every Reel started going viral.
Wow.
And since then, you know, I've just been posting like every 5 or 6 days sometimes. And my engagement rate when I checked yesterday was at like 40% plus. Wow,
that's amazing.
And I was just like, you know, like this is not supposed to work. but I'm just kind of testing it out. Again, it's like, I think this is an important thing. We got to use the tools and then just kind of experiment with it, you know, test drive it and then see where it leads. Keep what you like, course correct what doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, just keep
just
doing
to explain as well as people listen, we did a IBA Reels challenge inside IBA. So we had a month where that's something we do often, well, often, no, but that we try to implement more and more, that's for sure, to do like little challenges to really help people to take actions. And that was in October, Laura, I think it was.
Yeah, it was in October.
We did like a little Reels challenge to really push people to create more videos and stuff like that. So that was fun. So that's the kind of things we do inside IBA as well.
Yeah. Since then, just since that October thing, I think I gained like 1,500 followers or something just from just in terms of like growth that I saw, like my Reels were averaging at like 2,000 views to like 4,000 on a good day, you know, since doing that. You know, there's like, I have one that has 500k plus, 300k plus.
I don't even have that anymore. I mean,
yeah, <it's>
really good. Yeah. And then and like some are just like in the 30k range, but like there's a lot of saves. Like I didn't used to get any saves, or maybe 30 at max. And like one of them has like 5,000 saves.
Wow.
And there's just and lots of shares of the content. So my reach, you know, when I checked recently, it said my reach was like at 1 million or something, just from having like a couple back to back of those viral videos, you know. And again, I think we understand that reach and like having an audience increase doesn't mean that like one-to-one translates into paying clients. However, I did see like more discovery calls coming in, and I feel like I'm getting a lot more trust with my audience. I just kind of, my focus right now was very much on like, I want to expand my reach. I want to expand my audience. And I'm getting more used to this thing where I post. And I was so resistant to doing the thing where you take a viral sound and turn it into content. I just, oh my God, I can't tell you. Like I hated that idea. I would just like months and months of just like, no, or just staring at a sound like for like 10 minutes and just being like, I got nothing. And I'm a creative person, you know, like I create so many, like I'm a songwriter, but like ideas come to me 24/7, but that one just like nothing. But when you guys did the Reels challenge, it just really just did the thing for my brain. It just created that circuit that was missing, where how to take a viral sound and make it work for your business, you yeah. know, that was really important.
That's so
thank you.
Maybe to like kind of have a little takeaway and round it up as well. Like, what is like one thing that you feel like was one of the most valuable things that you got inside IBA, or, you know, or a fun mm-hmm. story that you have, maybe community wise or people you met that you kind of want to share still to anyone listening?
Yeah, to me, definitely one of the most important things was having the community on Facebook and just being instantly connected to so many people who are working through the same thing. Because like as an entrepreneur, when you start and you're not really connected to it, it can be so lonely, you know, yeah. you're just like yeah. stuck with your problems and your goals, just like sitting there on your laptop.
And you think you you're alone, that's the worst. And then everyone thinks they're alone, but they're actually all together in it. Alone,
exactly.
If that makes sense.
But it does, exactly. And I didn't know, I was just not aware of it. And I was also just like in my own bubble with it, yeah. you know, still fighting whatever insecurities were coming up. So I wasn't really aware of anything outside of that. But then in joining, you know, you see that everyone is dealing with the same thing, you know, everyone has the same questions, and there was a lot of support too. You know, it's not just like, oh, everyone has the same problem and it stays there. It was like everyone had so many solutions and kind suggestions. There has been like you know, like little WhatsApp groups that have come out of that, or like accountability groups that have come out of that. That has been a major one, because yeah, like that's a mental health thing too.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have peers. You've got to have peers who work on the same thing, who understand your struggles. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I very much believe in investing and purchasing and having a coach to help you with stuff, a business coach or, you know, mental health coach or whatever. But you also just need friends, yeah. you know, who get it, who you don't have to pay to get it, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was important. And then just, I think one of the biggest things really has been like stepping out of the invisibility bubble, you know, of like being an entrepreneur who's just like hidden like hidden behind like the occasional carousel post or quote post, but like I don't exist, I'm just like,
and now you reach a million people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'm like daring to like show my face. That was like hard for me to get over, even though I was doing acting and stuff beforehand. There was still like a lot of shyness around like just getting on camera and doing like a viral thing, or just talking to my audience. So, and you guys did content around that too, right? On how to get over that. And yeah, those have been big.
So how's your business going right now? If we can finish on that, like how's it going?
I'm like in this new exciting stage, because I went from just like, just give me any clients, like any clients. And I've been blessed. I've had some just like amazing people who have given me like a blueprint for my ideal client, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm now in the place where I'm excited that I'm stepping into, now I get business boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about, you know, like I have my type form in place so that I can filter. You guys talk about that too in the modules, you know, so that I don't just get like 100 messages saying like, how much, you know? And then I'm like, spend like 2 hours answering and like giving all this information and like offering free calls and stuff. And it's just like, it takes so much energy, you know? So again, it was one of those things where I probably should do the modules again now with like from this stage, I would get new stuff from it, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, so I have had a lot more experience now. I feel like I can actually, you know, I can really call myself a coach now. I feel like, having like the guidance on the niche really helped me feel like an expert. I remember you guys talking about this too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like literally in the introduction, like we have a lot. I mean, I think a lot of what you talked about really, I mean, I think for Ginny and I, it's probably hitting home, because we're like, I'm so glad that we have these things in IBA, like accountability with the community. We have a lot of mindset stuff, because like you said, limiting beliefs, like feeling like an expert. It's just things that hold you back. Like, we can give you all the tools for a great marketing strategy, even a great conversion system, like you talked about, to make sure that those followers turn into clients. But if you're going to get stuck on your own mindset, it can still hold you back. So we did put those things in place as much as we could inside the program. And it's just really nice to see that people do indeed then just take, you know, messy action and go for it and get amazing results. And I love that you made it your own, because that's what IBA is about. Like, we're here to give you the tools, but it has to work for you. And it's like, you can melt it into your own thing that works. And
I think it's also about, you know, I think you were saying that as well in one of the testimonials, enjoying your business again and just, you know, being able to focus on what you know, because you know that the rest is kind of like automation, because you figure it out, right? Like, you have a system, you know, that you have a framework, you know what you need to do, like your content works clearly, and then you can focus on your clients and it just rolls.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Yeah, it's like these, I think what you just said would be like maybe the main two takeaways. It's like, one, there is so much to be said about like automating or simplifying these processes, so you have more energy for the thing that you actually like to do, that gives you confidence and strength and passion and energy and stuff, right? Because that's where we want to get to. If we get stuck with like struggling with the business stuff, we never actually manage to get into that space, right? So that's the one thing. And then the other that you said, Lauren, is, sorry, did I just, Laura, oh my gosh, my brain, apologies. You know, the other thing is, it's not just the business stuff. It's not just like, here is like a PDF, you know, take these steps and then you just are stuck with it. No, it's like that. It's not that. It's like, I loved how you did the course, actually. Can we just give a shout out to having like the Kajabi thing, you know, with like video and not just like a recorded live from like 5 years ago that you
can we talk about this?
Oh my god, this is a real issue in our industry. Like, every time we do like competitor research and we buy some courses, we are literally shocked by the I mean, it sounds bad, maybe I shouldn't be the one saying it, like as talking about ourselves, but like, it's really crazy how people turn their free content into a program and then charge like $1,000 for it and think that's okay.
No, because
like,
you had it.
It's insane. Like,
we bought like this bundle of courses. I don't know. It was a year and a half ago. It was like
$100. When we just started.
And it was like, you get like 100 courses or something like that. And we're like, oh, great for market research. You know, you just see how people create courses. You take the good, the bad, or whatever, in terms of how to build the course. And we had like, so many people, like there were people charging $1,000 for four lives that they repurposed, like three lives that they repurposed, or people just presenting on shitty Canva presentation, not even bothering.
Not like, even trying to put it in like the slideshow that it's actually full screen. No, you have the WhatsApp things popping up on the sides and like not even edited. Like, you have the, I mean, it's just great. And I'm talking about like huge industry names, you know, like the people that we used to look up to.
Like, wow, is that a standard? Like, this is painful to see, because it shouldn't be that way. And you know, that's, I think, that's very sad that some people, I think that's another thing, right? When it comes to investment, a lot of people are telling us, you know, I don't care, I want to invest, but I've just been like ripped off so many times, because there's, I think the barrier to entry for coaching and this world of passive income is so low, like there's no regulations, right? And I think there should be regulations, but I mean, it's great that there isn't, because it means that, you know, no one, like, you can be a nobody and tomorrow have a business, and if you're good at what you do, it's amazing and go for it. But it also means that there's, you know, people who just are not really nice people who are just kind of like ripping you off, and then they're like, well, I don't really want to invest anymore because I've been ripped off, and I get it.
Oh my god, it's so true. I mean, I was just tired of hearing another, like the first 5 minutes of the recorded course is just like, hi Jennifer, hi Maggie, you know, and like, what are you drinking? And I'm just like, oh my god, I paid for this to listen to somebody, seriously, like make introductions, you know. So but I'm honestly, probably if you guys did it, I'd still pay for it, because like your free content is just very high value, right? You know, it's probably what other people steal and turn into payable content, you know?
Yeah, but that's a funny thing. IBA is nothing like our free content. Like people always assume that everything is in our free content, but like Jasmine, you're here, you are inside IBA. Do you feel like IBA is thought entirely in our free content?
No, not at all. Not at all. No. I mean, there's so much value in the modules and like the extra bonus resources that you packed on top of it. It's not freely available. And to me, it was definitely worth the investment. And I feel like if I hadn't done that, I would not be where I am in my business today, you know? And another one of those, where am I today with my business, is like, I'm able to like raise my rates, you know, those like fun things that we get to as coaches, you know, we get to like just build and grow. And I wasn't growing at that time before I purchased, you know? And yeah. And so just to that point from Laura earlier, so it's not just all that value packed stuff and the tools and the lessons, to help your business, but on top of it, it's the support and it's like the insight from the mental health perspective, like not just how do you structure your bio, but like how do you deal with the stuff that comes up with you as you're struggling to get through it. You know, that's the important part. So you get a bit of like the life coaching plus.
I think that's something I don't know if we're allowed to say it, Laura.
But I was just saying, like, we can, because by the time this will air, the new version is out. So Jasmine, when you're gonna...
I don't think it will be out though, does it? I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know when we're gonna air this.
Look at us chatting during the episode. No, but I think we can say, like, Jasmine, because you talked about it before and it was in the back of my mind as well. You said you want to redo IBA. Definitely this month you'll get the chance to see a new and improved version of IBA. Extra modules, new lessons, lots of cool stuff based on everything that we've learned from you guys over the past year, all the feedback, all the things that we saw where you were getting stuck, improved mindset stuff, where we know people get stuck, making sure we address those. So, I mean, I loved IBA before, but I love it even more now. I think Ginny agrees as well. So if you're going to redo it, wait just a few days.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm sorry if I keep babbling, you know, cut this out, whatever. But that is something that I love about how you work in your business. I really feel like you listen to your audience a lot. Like I haven't seen other businesses do it to that extent. And you're not afraid to admit that you're listening to your audience and like whatever they were struggling with, or if something wasn't working, you made an adjustment, or you put out the Reels course in the beginning and then you realize, oh, people struggle with camera shyness, and then you make content around that, you know? Yeah. Like it's just really like intuitive how you are adjusting and improving your business. And that's a model that's interesting to watch as well.
Yeah. I like that.
Ginny and I are sitting here like being happy. You should literally see the recording. We're just smiling the whole hour.
We'll take the compliments.
Yes. Five stars.
It's been like, you know, business is never easy. I mean, it's been a very successful year for us. And since we opened that business, but what you don't see behind the scene is that it's been very, very stressful months and burnout and all that. So, you know, it's always nice to start the year fresh and listen to nice stuff. But yeah, that's for sure. We're definitely listening to everyone, because honestly, that's the most valuable thing you can do in business, is listening to your ideal client, and especially your clients. You know, making sure that they stay happy, and you know, that's why we always make sure that, you know, they're supported. And if they don't feel supported, that we understand why. And we always make sure that, you know, we might even jump on a call with them and try to understand what they're stuck on and how we can help them further. So the purpose with IBA is to really for people to succeed. It's not for us to make more money or just handle the students or whatever. It's really making sure that these people take actions, and we always make sure that, yeah, they take action. So that's why we create stuff like the IBA Reels Challenge, because we knew people were a bit still scared of creating video content. We're like, come on, we need something, because they need to take actions now. And that's why we created that. So yeah, we're very excited about this IBA 2.0 version.
Nice.
Like Laura said, we really listened to, you know, the things you were saying, Jasmine, is like, you know, when we try to include some life coaching, we're like, oh yeah, we know you get stuck on this, what we mean by that. So we know, adding examples, adding so much more to it. So like, it's just not like a lesson, it's like so much more than that. And obviously they have the Facebook group and and all that to get the support. So we're very, very excited about this 2.0 version.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm excited too. And I'll say another thing because it's important. You also said something, you reward your clients. Yeah. How do I say this? Am I saying this right?
Yeah.
You know, like the clients that you already have, they get special offers and stuff because you were describing how other companies, they're always only rewarding new clients, you know, and your customer base is just like left in the dust. And I think you just, there's a lot of stuff that I learned from you guys, not just from the thing that you teach, but how you run your business while you're doing it, you know? Yeah. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, but that's actually very true. Like we would literally every project we have be like, okay, do we want to give this to our students? Yes. Okay. Our clients, how can we help them? Like instead of just doing everything for, I mean, we love our community on Instagram, don't get me wrong, but our clients will always be in the first place. Yeah, and I think that's just like, especially our IBA students, that's our, you know, highest ticket offer at this point. Right. So that's really the offer.
I was even thinking, even the IBA Reels challenge at first, we're like, oh, should we do like the a challenge for our community? I was like, no, it should be for our clients, students. So we always like when we think about something, what is like, no, that should be something for our students instead of
us. Let's round it up. I feel like we've already spent like 20, like, you know, when you're at a party and you want to say goodbye and you say goodbye for 20 minutes you don't want to leave.
That's you, Laura.
I feel like that's definitely me, but like, I feel like that's our conversation right now as well. Like,
no, I never say goodbye. You know, I'm the person who just leave without saying goodbye.
We'll see you in the next one. I wanted to thank you for coming up on this episode. Where can people find you? Can you maybe drop your Instagram handle so people can you?
Yes, it's at Jasmine Marsters. I'm just going to like pretend like we're writing it into the screen.
We will write it in under the speaker notes as well. So you can see it on the episode. We'll tag you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So find me. Jasmine Marsters, or look for Overthinkers Coach, something like that. You'll find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Jasmine. Thanks for sharing your experience about IBA. And yeah, obviously we'll see you inside IBA. We're excited to hear what you think about the version as well.
And if you want to join IBA 2.0, I will probably put a link somewhere. I don't know where we would be at this point. I don't even know when we launched that episode. But yeah, we'll put a link in the speaker notes if you want to learn more about IBA. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for IBA.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a rating or simply tell a friend about the Health Energy podcast. That would help us out massively.
We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.